It's at 6 o'clock tonight. We invite you to be here. Acts chapter 28. We've come to Acts chapter 28 this morning, if you'd like to turn there. Acts 28, and we'll start at verse 11. Acts 28, 11. You'll remember that at this point, Paul, of course, is a prisoner of Rome because of some false accusations brought against him by the Jews. He has appealed to Caesar, and so he is, in a roundabout way, being taken to, and will indeed arrive eventually at Rome. Tonight we're going to take a look at a little bit of his journey. But right now, this morning, we're going to take a look at his journey. Acts 28, verse 11. After 3 months, we sailed in an Alexandrian ship whose figurehead was the twin brothers, which had wintered at the island, and landing at Syracuse, we stayed 3 days. From there, we circled round and reached Rhegium. And after 1 day, the south wind blew, and the next day we came to Betulae, where we found brethren, and were invited to stay with them 7 days. And so we went toward Rome. And from there, when the brethren heard about us, they came to meet us as far as Appii Forum and Thriens. When Paul saw them, he thanked God and took courage. Now when we came to Rome, the centurion delivered the prisoners to the captain of the guard, but Paul was permitted to dwell by himself with the soldier who guarded him. Words recording the end of a particular journey. And in particular, verse 16 contains just the first part of that verse, what would seem to be a very simple declaration. It says, now when we came to Rome. And yet, as we're going to see this morning, there is a whole lot wrapped up in that statement, in that conclusion. When we came to Rome. But not just for Paul is there a whole lot wrapped up in it, because believer, there is a Rome for each of us. And by the time we're through this morning, I trust you understand what I mean by that expression, though it might seem kind of strange right now. But as there was a Rome up ahead for Paul, God's destination for him, so there is a Rome for every believer. And Paul's path is going to point the way for our path. I've called our time together this morning, when we came to Rome. Let's pray. Father, how we thank you, Lord, we can gather with the assurance that you're here and you want to work. We can gather with the assurance that you love us. In spite of us, you love us. Thank you that because of your love, you sent your Son. And we can know and receive salvation. Thank you that because of your love, even though we might come hurting and needing comfort or discouraged or whatever it might be, you have healing and answers and encouragement for us. Thank you, Father, that in your love for us, you do have a plan. There's something you want to do in each and every believer this morning. Lord, we are an interesting people. We confess it. We can be so much about us. We can be so distracted. Even right now, Lord, so many things tugging on us. Lord, lift those things off us and help us, Lord. Help us to hear, to receive, to live in that which you'd have for us today. So, Lord, by the power of your Spirit, through your mighty word, speak to our hearts, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. It had been on Paul's heart to see Rome for a long, long time. Way back in chapter 19, while Paul was still ministering in Ephesus, we read in Acts 19:21, it says, when these things were accomplished, Paul purposed in the Spirit, when he had passed through Macedonia and Achaia, to go to Jerusalem, saying, after I've been there, I must also see Rome. Paul knew that Rome was the center of civilization in that day. There was a young fledgling church there. He wanted to be of some comfort and ministry to them. He wanted to get the gospel really going there in the center of civilization in that day. He wanted to share about Jesus in Rome. But it wasn't just in Paul's heart, it was in God's heart. Indeed, Paul's desire stemmed from God placing that desire, that calling, upon Paul's heart. Remember that night in Jerusalem? We studied just a little while back. Paul had tried to share with the Jews a couple of times. This had gone really, really poorly. And he was sitting there in jail wondering, what's going to come of me? I thought it'd go so well, and it didn't. Well, we hear this. In chapter 23, verse 11, we read, "But the following night the Lord stood by him," by Paul, "and said, 'Be of good cheer, Paul, for as you have testified for me in Jerusalem, so you must also bear witness at Rome.'" So here we see, Paul has a desire, a call upon his heart to go to Rome. And he has God's word now that he will indeed get to Rome, because God gave him that desire. God gave him that calling and is reassuring him, "Hey, I want you to do it. You are going to do it. You are going to get to Rome." Before we now set sail with Paul to see what God would want to have for us through the word today, I just want you to consider this. Paul had a calling for this life. A destination, a series of destinations, if you will, meaning different callings and places to go to fulfill those callings. But as it was for Paul, so it is for us. Every believer has a call on their life. And so often what we stop with are simply the means to fulfill the greater callings. But right now I just want to drive home that we all have a calling, a destination, if you will, a Rome, meaning something God would want to do, a calling for our lives. Now, yes, it's possible to say that ultimately our destination is heaven. That for every believer, God wants us to be there with Him, and He saved us for that purpose, to dwell with Him. And that would be accurate to say that. And going to heaven through this life could be compared to a journey, a voyage. And that would be accurate to do that. But that's really not what is being talked about here. Paul's ultimate destination, of course, was heaven also. But that isn't what these scriptures are about. They're about God being used in a particular way in a particular place during this life's journey. This is a calling placed on Paul's heart by God for this lifetime. And it was on Paul's heart, but it started in the Lord's heart. This doesn't come naturally. It's by God's Spirit moving upon Paul and us. See, it's about a Rome as he makes his way towards home. It's things God wants to do in Paul and in and through you and I on our way home. God didn't save us to put us on a shelf. Or He didn't save us, say, "Okay, I've saved you. Now just go about life as normal. Just be like the world. Be like you used to be. And then at the end of life, you can come be with me." That would miss why we're reconnected to Him in terms of this life. We'd miss out on the plans and purposes and all that God wants for us. Too many Christians even struggle with that. Well, what is there today? Hopefully this morning you'll get an encouragement about how to discover it and walk in that. Now, this calling you have on your life, it may not be literally in the literal Rome. Now, it could be. I mean, He wants to send you to Italy. Let Him. But it's simply... I'm saying that there's a call in our life, and you know that calling is going to be fulfilled in some geographical location. That's because you do live in these bodies, and so you've got to be somewhere. And that often is part of the thing. He'll send you somewhere, put you in a place halfway around the world, or just put you in that office or that school or wherever. But it is going to be filled in a particular geographical location. That is true. But the Romes I'm talking about today are more the specifics of a calling, a place of ministry, a place of being used by the Lord. See, the fact is, for everybody who has become a believer, received Christ as Savior, the Bible speaks of an analogy here in which you're placed in a body. Paul speaks about we're all members of a body now, the body of Christ, meaning we're brothers and sisters in the family of the Lord. And in that place of being part of the body, he uses an example of the body, meaning the body has various parts, each with their own thing they do, to fulfill the greater place of the body. So we're all part of a body, but all have our own part in that body. And so Paul used that example just to drive home this point. We all have a place to serve, to discover our purpose and meaning and what God would want to do in and through us. So, please know that without a doubt, if you received Christ, it wasn't to put you on hold, but to put you in a body and to find and fulfill that place. And what I discovered, though, unfortunately, though, is for too many Christians, they don't. And so they wonder and they struggle with why they're here. You see, when you don't seek and discover and walk in what God has for you, you suffer and the body suffers. All believers suffer because we need one another. Now, some of you might say, you know, I know all this, Pastor, but my difficulty is I can't seem to find where God would have for me. Well, God doesn't say all this to bring you to this point and say, and now I'm not going to tell you. I've got a place for you, and I want to use you, and it's going to give you a purpose in your life, but I'm not going to tell you what it is. And maybe if you grovel for 20 years in the dirt, I might tell you someday. No, He wants to speak. You see, if you haven't discovered it yet, then make it top priority to. Really make it a point to listen. And He will. I believe He will begin to lead you. Now, He might just nudge you along to start trying some things. And you'll step out a little bit here, go on an outreach or get involved at the church or something. Oops, that wasn't it. But if you do step out, I believe you will begin to discover, hey, you know what, this is where to have me. And you'll discover a gifting maybe, some skill He's given you, rising up to meet needs. Because that's what He wants to do. So He's not trying to keep it a secret. But I find a lot of people, they're waiting when they just need to be reacting. He's speaking, and indeed so often people hear it, but what's the problem? We don't like what He's saying. Because what we're saying is, Lord, I want to be used, and could you use me this way? What I really like is this mate, and I'd like to live in Hawaii, and while you're at it, can I have that car? Can I have that house? You know, and that's what we kind of do, whether we say it or not. Out loud, inside, we have things in the way. But let all that go and just let Him show you. Now, the other thing is, sometimes, is we want the whole journey to be shown to us before we'll take the first step. And God doesn't work that way. He says, take this step. Then after I take it, then He says, now take the next. But I find too many are waiting when really they need to be moving. God is already speaking to them. It's time to move out on that step that God would have you take today, to discover the purpose and plan for your life. And you will not regret it. For Paul, it was, you will testify of me in Rome. For you, it might be something else. And it might be a call to serve here at the church in some way. There are no shortage of needs here. In all kinds of ways. That might be one. I encourage you to think about those. Pray about those. But it might be a call at your home, your school, again, your work somewhere, to share with someone. Maybe it is to go somewhere or do something, whatever. Exercise some gift. I really believe, and I always try to fan that flame around here of body ministry. People caring for and ministering to each other in the body of Christ. And that means so often exercising gifts. And I really try to discourage the holding back that I see sometimes. Risk it. Go for it. Discover the gifts God's given you to minister in the body. You'll be blessed, and so will those around you. Well, what we've established now is that, like Paul, we have a voyage we're on, and God has some things He wants to do. So let's set sail with Paul and see what he'd show us. What we just read is the end. Let's go back to somewhat of the beginning of the journey here. Chapter 27, verse 1. Turn back a chapter to chapter 27, verse 1. We won't read the whole thing, but we're going to set sail now with Paul and see what it says about the journey to our Romes, our place of ministry. And if you have a desire, a hunger in this, I believe God will speak to you through it. Chapter 27, verse 1. And when it was decided that we should sail to Italy, they delivered Paul and some other prisoners to one named Julius, a centurion of the Augustan regiment. So entering a ship of Adramyttium, we put to sea, meaning to sail along the coast of Asia. Aristarchus, a Macedonian of Thessalonica, was with us. Thus begins this voyage that's going to last about 6 months of Paul being taken from Caesarea, ultimately to arrive at Rome. Now it's going to take, as I said, a good 6 months or so, not by their design. This isn't what they had planned, but it's by God's design. First thing we see in discovering, fulfilling God's call for us, discovering where our Rome is, our place of ministry, I want us to see is that it's in God's timing that we make our way through and discover and are active in these places of calling. It's God's timing for the voyages that we're on, not our timing. This morning, has it been longer than you thought it would be in either discovering God's call for you or seeing it come to pass? I've said this just recently in another message, but just let me remind you, God is never late. We're the ones who set up timing and then we're frustrated when God hasn't marched to our tune. But God's timing is perfect. And we're going to see here, it's not going to be the timing that they would have set up, but it's God's perfect timing. You'll also notice this, not only is the timing something they'd planned for, but how they get there. Meaning the route they take to get to Rome is not what they would have chosen. If you were to get a map and start marking these various cities that they go to on this journey to Rome, you would see it is not the straightest route to get there. But we do see it's what God wanted for them. At times, you may not understand the route that God takes you on to get you where He wants you to be. You struggle with His timing and you struggle with His means, His direction, the route He takes you. You're so sure it's going to go this way and all of a sudden He takes you that way. And you're going, but Lord. And so you struggle. Indeed, many times you point out to Him that this isn't the way you think it should go. So we fight with the captain of the ship, you know, for the helm. Lord, I know the direction to take here. But trust Him. See, there's things along the way that you don't know anything about yet. Places he wants to take Paul to a place called Malta. It's going to be a ministry there first before they get to Rome. Paul doesn't know about that yet, but it's going to happen. The same for you. There's things He wants to do along the way. Trust Him as the captain of the ship. I want you to also notice this before we move on. It tells us Paul did not take this voyage alone. You notice the word "we" set sail. That means Luke, the one who God used to write the book of Acts, is with Paul at this point. So Luke is with him. And another believer, a guy named Aristarchus, is with Paul at this point. I bring that up to encourage you. God gives us, and I thank God that He gives us, traveling companions as we make our way to our Rome, our places of ministry, our purpose, God's plan for us. He doesn't design us to be lone rangers. It's sad to go it alone. It's dangerous to go it alone. You'll get beat up going it alone. You're part of a body. And part of that body effect is to encourage one another and pray for one another as we seek and fulfill God's plan for each of us. Do not stay away from that. Do not be a lone ranger. I thank God for the traveling companions He's given me along the way. And I'd like to stop for just a moment and give God the glory, in particular for one particular traveling companion that God gave me. I don't know where I would be without her. I don't even want to go there where I'd be without her. But I thank God for my wife and the traveling companion. But whether it's a mate, a friend, just others in the body here, just whoever it might be, God does give us traveling companions. And so don't be afraid of that, but let that be part of what God uses to encourage you and strengthen you along the way. I know it sure has been for me. Well, at this point now, they indeed set sail. Well, it doesn't go too well for them, and I'm going to kind of highlight some points here. We can't read all of it. Go down to verse 7 of 27, chapter 27, verse 7. When we had sailed slowly many days and arrived with difficulty off Cnidus, the wind not permitting us to proceed, we sailed under the shelter of Crete off Salome. Passing it with difficulty, we came to a place called Fair Havens near the city of Lysi. So at this point, they've begun to have difficulty in the journey. We read words like slowly and difficulty and things like that. So not off to a great start. They have God's calling. He knows He's supposed to be on this journey. But boy, circumstances aren't going too well. Well, He hasn't seen anything yet. Look at verse 9. Now, when much time had been spent and sailing was now dangerous because the fast was already over, meaning it's fall, it's past October, Paul advised them, saying, "Men, I perceive that this voyage will end with disaster and much loss, not only of the cargo and ship, but also our lives." Paul's a prisoner. There's Roman soldiers and the Roman commander and the captain of the ship and everything else. But here's this prisoner going, guys, you better listen to me. I perceive if we keep going, it's not going to go well for us. Now, I would want to clarify something. They do ignore his warning and they head off next to a place called Phoenix. But in this text, there might be something that might kind of throw you because he says, I perceive that there's going to be disaster and much loss, not only of the cargo and ship, but also of our lives. And you might kind of pause and go, wait a minute. He had God's promise he'd be in Rome. How could he think that they're going to lose their lives? Well, in this case, the New King James translation doesn't really service as well as it might. Because again, it sounds like he thinks they might die. The King James actually does a better job here. Let me read it. Verse 10 in King James says, "And said unto them, Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading and ship, but also of our lives." So that's really the idea here. Is I'm just letting you guys know, he says, if we go, it's going to be a rough going. We're going to lose a lot of the cargo and the ship and stuff, so I'm telling you, we shouldn't do it. Well, they don't listen to him, and off they go. Now, we're about to jump in to reading a little bit longer section. I choose to do it because I want you to be transported back to that time. In our application of God having callings for us, and this is an example of that, but that it won't necessarily be a bed of roses, and that God still wants to work in and through the storms and all, I want us to go back and travel in the ship. I want us to see the rain. I want us to hear the ocean. I want us to feel the wind and make the applications along the way. Verse 13. "And when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their desire, putting out to sea, they sailed close by Crete. But not long after, a tempestuous headwind arose, called Euroclydon. So when the ship was caught and could not head into the wind, we let her drive. And running under the shelter of an island called Clauda, we secured the skiff," the little boat they pull behind, they bring it in. "We secured the skiff with difficulty. When they had taken it on board, they used cables to undergird the ship. And fearing lest they should run aground on the Syrtis sands, they struck sail, and so we were driven." It gets so bad. They go, "We better pull in our little dinghy back there, the other boat," and they pull it in and secure that. But the boat's creaking, the storm's getting worse. They can't even make headway. They finally just just pull down the sails and let the wind drive them. And it says they run ropes and stuff under the ship. It's creaking. It's coming apart. And so they run ropes and all under the ship trying to gird it together, just to hold it together. As you discover and walk in God's will, as you begin to be used by Him, there still will be times when you're going to feel like if something doesn't happen, the storms are going to pull you apart. There's been times, and I don't mind saying it, that I felt like, man, God, these things are going to pull me apart at the seams. But God was the glue. But I'll say that, if God hadn't been the glue to keep me in one piece, I would have gotten pulled apart at the seams. So it's so important, as you move forward and walking with the Lord and sailing with the Lord and discovering His plans and purposes for you. He says they undergird the ship to withstand the storm. You need to undergird your life in the same way. Pull those ropes of prayer and God's Word. Those chains of His presence, meaning His strength, His wisdom, His peace, and all those things. Undergird yourself so that the things of life won't pull you apart at the seams. You ever felt like you've been going to be pulled apart at the seams? Nobody? Two. Oh, I'm not alone. A few more of you. If it hadn't been for the Lord, I sure wouldn't be here. He's the glue that keeps us together, and we must undergird ourselves in the midst of this. Don't be surprised by the storms, but get prepared and be strong. Lean on God, not on yourself. Well, look at verse 18 now, because the storms are getting rough. Verse 18, "And because we were exceedingly tempest-tossed." Wait a minute, I thought God had called him to this. He did. Well, is it always supposed to be, you know, God wouldn't want me unhappy. Show me that one in Scripture. It says here, and there it says, and because we were exceedingly tempest-tossed, the next day they lighten the ship. They're getting so tossed, it's time to lighten the load. Do you need to lighten the load? Is it time for you to throw overboard some things that are making your journey tougher than it needs to be? Spiritually speaking, life journey speaking, those are things like you're trying to keep one foot in the world while one's in the Lord. And you're getting beat up and you're wondering why. You need to lighten your load of some worldly ways of thinking. That happiness is found in material goods. That if I just could have that certain relationship or that experience, then I'll have joy and I'll be happy. Whatever it might be, is it time for you to lighten the load of just stress? All the things you're carrying that God never designed you to carry. He says, bring it to Him. Cast those cares on Him. All you are heavy laden, let Him have it. Do you need to lighten the load on this journey to Rome? Then do it. Throw it overboard. Look at verse 19. On the third day, we threw the ship's tackle overboard with our own hands. Now, when neither sun nor stars appeared for many days, and no small tempest beat on us, all hope that we should be saved was finally given up. But after long abstinence from food, then Paul stood in the midst of them and said, "Men, you should have listened to me, and have not sailed from Crete and incurred this disaster and loss." But he doesn't stay there like, you know, he doesn't get all gloomy. He's not Eeyore here. "And now I urge you to take heart, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship." We're going to lose the ship, but no persons. "For there stood by me this night an angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I serve, saying, 'Do not be afraid, Paul. You must be brought before Caesar. And indeed, God has granted you all those who sail with you. Therefore," verse 25, "take heart, men, for I believe God that it will be just as it was told me." Oh, there's so much there. Time doesn't really allow us maybe to go in the full depth, but gosh, what a great way to make a journey. What a great encouragement and challenge for us. I mean, it's getting rough. They're throwing everything overboard. Nobody's eating. They're giving up all hope. But Paul stands up and says, "You know, the God whom I serve sent an angel. And he reminded me, he told me, hey, you will appear before Caesar. And so you and those with you will be saved." And so what did he choose to do? It says, verse 25, and remember it. "Therefore, take heart, men, for I believe God." I'm going to choose to go with God on this one. I'm not going to just let the circumstances win over. I'm not going to go with what people are saying, the enemy's saying, none of that. I'm going to believe God. That what he said he's going to do, he's going to do. It's called faith. I'm going to trust you in this, Lord. Take heart is the calling. Keep the goal in view. Remember the call, and who it is that called you is the idea. Now, at the same time, let me summarize. They do indeed finally get close to some land. It's nighttime, it tells us, but they can hear there's breakers, ocean up ahead, or, you know, there's some, they can hear waves, so they stop because they don't want to get crashed against any rocks or anything. And they're going to wait till morning to see what's going on, where they've arrived and all. Well, we arrive at an interesting place here that's important for us in our journey to notice. They're dropped anchor, they're waiting for daylight, but at this point, some of the crew attempts to jump ship. Go down to verse 30. "And as the sailors were seeking to escape from the ship, when they let down the skiff into the sea under pretense of putting out anchors from the prow, Paul said to the centurion and the soldiers, 'Unless these men stay in the ship, you cannot be saved.' Then the soldiers cut away the ropes of the skiff and let it fall off." Here I want us to notice that there is a great temptation here set before these sailors. And my concern this morning is the temptation that some here are facing. And it is namely this. In the face of the storm, in the face of the circumstances, you're thinking of jumping ship. It's gotten too much. You don't see where it's going to go. There's been storms. This isn't the timing. This wasn't the direction I thought it would be. It's just too much. I'm going to jump ship. The waves are scary. The storm is fierce. I've got to get out of this. And so they were ready to jump ship. Are you ready this morning to jump ship? Your trials are great. The pressure seemingly seems too much. You want to jump ship. You're ready to jump ship out of your marriage, but you don't have scriptural reasons. You're ready to jump ship out of that job. You're ready to jump ship out of that ministry. See, whatever it might be, friends, as Paul says, don't do it. I have a great concern for you this morning. Some people think the answer to the dilemma is jump out of the ship of God's will and jump into the skiff, the dinghy of their own will, their own way they think it's going to be worked out. But as Paul points out, he says, you get out of the ship and you won't make it. You get out of God's will, you get into the skiff of what the way you think it has to be, and you will not make it. He says, we're not going to be saved if you do that. Stay in God's will. Stay in His ship is the call. Jumping ship today, if you're thinking of jumping ship in some way, it will not get you where you think it will. Oh, I know that might look tempting, that's the answer, but it's not. It's a lie, and it won't get you where you want to go. What did they do to deal with the situation of wanting to jump ship? Verse 32 is awesome. Then the soldiers cut away the ropes of the skiff and let it fall off. If you're thinking of bailing out on God's plan for your life, cut that option loose. Just cut that skiff loose. That drug dealer's phone number that you still have from the old days, tear it up, throw it away, burn it, cut it loose. That relationship that's destructive, she's married, he's married, or whatever it might be, but if I could just be with them, cut that loose. Whatever it might be that you think, whatever the skiff is, you think if you get into it, whatever this jumping ship represents. If you're married, don't even mention the divorce word. But seek and get help. Don't jump ship. Don't jump ship by going with the ways of the world. But the way the world says you need to be or the answer. Cut the possibility loose. Once that they cut the skiff loose and put it out there, no more. There's no more there to take. No more opportunity to jump ship. Cut that option loose, whatever it is, that you would take that would be opposite of God's plan, His way for your life. Stay in the ship and you will see Rome. You'll see God's plans and purposes if we just obey. Well, in the morning, sure enough, there's a island there, Malta. They try for land. The ship has run aground, but all of them make it. Go to verse 42, the end of chapter 27. And the soldiers' plan was to kill the prisoners. So the ship runs aground. They're all going to try to swim for shore. But the guards go, we got to kill the prisoners. They might escape at this point. And the soldiers' plan, verse 42, was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim away and escape. But the centurion, the guy in charge, wanting to save Paul, kept them from their purpose and commanded that those who could swim should jump overboard first to get to land, and the rest, some on boards and some on parts of the ship. And so it was that they all escaped safely to land. The thing to see here is that the events that are unfolding here are not coincidences. Even down to this commander telling the soldiers, no, don't kill them, because it says he wanted to keep Paul alive. You see, everything here are God's hands, His hands of direction and protection and providence. They're being displayed left and right here. Now, so often it's in seemingly natural ways, but Paul recognizes and Luke recognizes that it's God doing it. You need to see the same. God is at work on the behalf of all those who are His and love Him. And that includes you, right in your circumstances. Well, it turns out, as I said, this island is Malta. The natives show great kindness. There's some really interesting interactions there. Paul ministers in some neat ways there. But then after beginning of chapter 28 there, they're at Malta. We come back to the verses we started with. And the key of it is found in verse 16. Now, when we came to Rome. Do you see now? It wasn't just God calling Paul in the beginning. Say, Paul, I want you to go to Rome. Here's your tickets. Jump on that 747 there and you'll be there by tonight. And by the way, there's some caviar on the plane for you on the way and everything. No. It's like 2.5 years plus since even when he was in jail back there in Jerusalem. 2.5 years. And it wasn't the luxurious cruise to get there. It was exceedingly difficult and dangerous and others giving up hope left and right. And, you know, the timing and the means and all. I don't get it. He could have rightly said, I don't get it. Now, when we came to Rome, in spite of all the problems, in spite of all the storms and the seeming difficulties and everything else, the trials, the real difficulties, Paul indeed arrives in Rome. Paul was called to Rome, therefore he must get there. And so he did. And so that verse represents God's faithfulness. He was telling it true, of course. You're going to get to Rome, verse 16. Now when we came to Rome. So must it be for us as it was for Paul. God has something for you. And he's going to do it. He's got a place for you. Lay hold of God's call for you. Step out as he leads you and gives you these purposes. Oh, maybe you don't understand how they're going to what they're going to result in. How's it going to get me? Just step by step, move forward. Remember, he said, Paul, you will testify of me in Rome. Later, Paul, you must appear before Caesar. Now, we read, and when we came to Rome, what God said he was going to do, God did. What was Paul's part in it all? Remember back in verse 25 of chapter 27? What was Paul's part? Verse 25 is great. Therefore, take heart, men, for I believe God. That was Paul's part, and that's our part. God, I'm going to choose to believe you. You got plans, you got purposes, I'm going to move forward in it. You've got Rome along this life's journey, and I'm going to trust you and believe you. And if you'll do that, if you'll just say, I'm going to believe God as I make this life's journey, I'm going to be available, surrender, I'm going to believe God. If you'll do that, then it will also, when it's all said and done, be written about you or said of you what it says in verse 16. We came to Rome. Let's stand. Tim's going to bring the worship team up to close us in song together. Are you in need of prayer today? Perhaps you heard something that you want to know more about. Go find a prayer partner. They'd love to talk to you and pray with you. You got to begin life's journey of why you were even made in terms of salvation first. You got to receive Jesus Christ as Savior.